Our next speaker is Larry Berg. Larry Berg is a senior partner at Apollo, but he is also the lead managing owner of the Los Angeles Football Club. Larry, take it away.
Thanks, Larry. So I thought I would spend time in talking about the MLS or the U.S. Domestic Soccer League, trying to focus on those things that differentiate us from the other American sports leagues, since we're all in a very challenging environment without fans, or most of us without fans. I thought I'd start with what was happening in our league pre-COVID. We actually came into the 2020 season with some pretty good momentum. We had a few expansion teams, so we have 26 teams today. We're on our way to 30 with teams that have already been granted. That's a doubling in about 10 years. The expansion fees have gone up 10 times in 10 years. So Seattle, about 10 years ago, got an expansion team for $30 million. Charlotte just got one for $300 million. So a lot of appreciation there. There's a ton of new soccer-specific stadiums being built. So the infrastructure is terrific. In our case, in Los Angeles, we built a 22,000-seat stadium for $370 million in downtown Los Angeles 3 years ago. We sell out every game. We have 18,000 season ticket holders. So the particular vibe at an MLS game with the supporters and with the chanting all game, et cetera, is particularly good. And the rosters have gotten a lot younger. So we used to have what was called retirement league players. So we would take the 32 to 36-year-old from Europe who's already seen their best days, and we would bring them in as a league in order to sell more tickets. But the play sort of reflected that, and now we have much younger players and players that can be sold forward. So in my case, last year we had a record year, and we did it with six of my 11 starters, 23 years old or under. So just a massive change. And then the crown jewel of the league, which are the academies. I think the MLS academies are just kind of reaching their stride. I would say the best example of that is Alphonso Davies, who was sold from Vancouver to Bayern Munich. He's now their starting left back. Some would say they're the best left back in the world at 19, and he was sold for 20 million euro. And there are examples of FC Dallas selling an academy player to Juventus, another one to Bayern Munich, New York Red Bull sold a 20-year-old academy player to Leipzig in the Bundesliga. And in our case, we signed our first academy player, since we're newer, three 16-year-olds. And obviously, if you build your own, then if you sell those players someday, which I'll get into in a second, it's all profit, and it helps make the model go. So we actually had a lot of momentum. The bad news about our league was we have very little TV money. So a huge differentiator between ourselves and the other big sports leagues, or those that are bigger than us, is that we don't have TV to fall back on when there's no fans. So we literally have a $90 million national TV contract for what today is 26 teams, so a few million bucks per team, and pretty much no local TV revenues. So it was really a league built on game day revenues, fans and sponsors, and then, of course, transfer fees, et cetera. So when COVID hit, in our case, COVID hit in March. We played our season starts in March. We played two regular season games. And then it was all stopped. We basically had no revenue until July, when we did a bubble in Orlando, kind of like the NBA at Disney World. But in that case, there were no fans, and frankly, our TV money, we were just fulfilling the contract for the $90 million in national TV revenues. We didn't have any fans. We didn't have any revenues, or not many revenues for the league, for the teams. And then we got back into our markets when that was over. In our case, it was August 22nd, and we were back into our stadiums. But once again, no game day revenue. And so it's obviously taken a huge financial toll on the business model. And that was before a few other things cropped up that I guess surprised me, being my first time doing this with a pandemic. One of them is club and country. So one of the things that makes soccer great, in my opinion, is that you not only have players that play for their clubs, but they also play for their national teams. In our case, in Los Angeles, we have seven players that play for the national team, seven of our 11 starters. And the way it works with FIFA is a few times during the year, they have two-week windows. The agreement with the domestic leagues all throughout the world is they stop playing their domestic league games, so clubs are not disadvantaged. And then you release your players to international duty. And so they don't really miss many games. The problem is when they get back during COVID, they have a 10-day required quarantine period. So that's already hitting us now in October, but there's another window in November, and when the players get back, the playoffs are going to start. And so seven of my 11 starters will probably be under quarantine. So here you go, and you build a roster, and you invest in young talent, and you spend more money than others. And with COVID, it's turned that into a negative. So club and country has really really hurt us. And so just mentally, we all feel like that's okay in 2020. We know it's an unusual year, and everyone just has to do what they have to do. But what do you do in 2021? And so we've been talking about pushing the season back instead of starting in March, perhaps starting mid-year, trying to give a longer period of time for a vaccine to be developed and distributed. But the national team games don't stop, and the international tournaments don't stop. So what do you do with your players in the meantime? Europe has a much bigger set of TV contracts. The EPL in particular in the UK has NFL-type contracts, like $5 billion-plus versus our $90 million. So they can keep playing without fans and make a go of it. And so, you know, do we loan our players to Europe in the spring when we're not playing, waiting for the vaccine while they're playing? So that's going to be a difficult set of decisions. And then the last part of the transfer markets. In soccer, another thing that makes it really interesting to me is you can buy and sell contracts in soccer. Different teams do it different ways. We did invest in 10 players with transfer fees. In order to make that flywheel work, we have to sell those players after a few years, and eventually their contracts come up, and you could lose them on a free. But as you can imagine, in the world of COVID, the transfer market is quite depressed, and with the exception of the top teams in the world, other folks don't really have the money, and the top teams aren't spending as much, so it doesn't trickle down to us. So in transfer market, which is a third-party resource, it values our squad at about $75 million, and our number one player, who was a 20-year-old we got from Uruguay 2 years ago, we spent about $7 million on him. Transfer market values him about $20 million, and he just got his first call up to the Uruguay national team. We can't sell him today. Hopefully we can, and the market rebounds next summer. The summer window is the big window. The winter window is the small window. So, and then the last part's the academy. The academies are basically shut down, can't play at all. So it's something we invest a lot of money in. It's one of the ways we feel like we can turn it into a business model that's sustainable by creating our own players that we don't have to go into the market and pay for. And it's a particularly exciting time now in U.S. soccer and the MLS because we now have placed players in some of the top teams in the world, the Chelseas, the Dortmunds, the Juventuses, et cetera. But right now that part's shut down. So the business model is a bit upside down. Not exactly sure where that leads us. We have all the same issues that the other leagues have in terms of testing and positive tests and games postponed, et cetera. But the lack of TV money, the national team games, and the depressed transfer market add some particular unique challenges. And with that, I'll kick it back to you.
Thanks, Blair.